Respected Dharma brothers, respected practitioners and guests, my name is U Ling, and I have the good fortune to be able to welcome you this evening to the Singapore Buddhist Lodge. Today, we are seeing an increasing number of people around the world, especially in the West, starting to practice Buddhism. And although the Pure Land School has been little known in the West, we are also starting to see an interest in it as well. This is fitting for our time because we are now in the Dharma ending age, in which the Pure Land School will become the primary means of transcending the cycle of birth and death. There will be times when Buddhism flourishes and times when it declines. But when this age finally does end in about 9,000 years, Buddhism will be gone from this world for the next several billion years. Buddha Shakyamuni taught that we are currently deluded, so wrapped up in ourselves that we are unable to even begin to understand that we are not individuals, but are rather part of one entity. Our wandering, discriminating thoughts and attachments and afflictions have hidden the truth from us. The Buddha taught us how to break through all these obstacles so our original nature can again surface. Buddha Shakyamuni taught of enlightenment and purity, of Buddha name chanting and true wisdom, of Buddha Amitabha and the Western Pure Land. All that the Buddha taught is what we call Buddhism. And Buddhism can help us to understand why we live as we do and how we can change. Simply put, it is a virtuous and perfect education directed toward all sentient beings in the nine realms. How can we tell that Buddhism is an education? First, as students, we call Buddha Shakyamuni our original teacher. The teacher-student relationship is only found in education. Who is the Buddha? In Sanskrit, an ancient language of India, Buddha means wisdom and enlightenment. However, this wisdom is not the worldly wisdom we think of today. Broadly speaking, the Buddha's wisdom is the ability to perfectly comprehend the true reality of life and the universe in the past, present, and future. One who has perceived this wisdom is called a Buddha. Buddha Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha of our world, told us that all sentient beings, including ourselves, possess this innate wisdom and ability. Thus, Buddhism regards all beings equally. But although we are equal in origin, presently, we cannot see this, because everyone's abilities differ. In our society, there are those who are intelligent and those who are not, those with great ability and those with less. Why is this? The Buddha told us that it is due to our varying degrees of delusion, which is false beliefs and wrong views. Our innate wisdom and abilities are thus temporarily lost. However, if we can break through this delusion, we will be able to recover these abilities. It is often stated in the sutras, recorded teachings of the Buddha, that Buddhas do not directly help sentient beings. Then how do beings become Buddhas? By themselves. The Buddha only assists from the side to explain how we delude ourselves. After realizing this, we diligently put his teachings into practice to attain enlightenment. We then become Buddhas. Buddha Shakyamuni explains that becoming a Buddha is attainable by all sentient beings. However, a teacher can only educate us about the principles, tell us of his or her experiences, and suggest various methods for our practice and attainment. The rest ultimately depends upon us. We are the ones who need to be enthusiastic and diligent in order to attain enlightenment. Once we comprehend that Buddhism is an education, we will then see that in way places where this is understood, we do not regard the Buddha or Bodhisattva images as gods to be worshipped. We make offerings to these images for two reasons. First, to remember and repay our gratitude for the teachings which we have been given. The opening verse to the sutras says it very well. It tells us that Buddhism is extremely difficult to encounter in infinite eons. The debt of gratitude we owe the Buddha is similar to the remembrance which some Chinese have for their ancestors. And we too would do well to reflect on our origins, for without our ancestors, we would not exist. The second reason we make offerings to the Buddha is to follow the examples of the virtuous. Buddha Shakyamuni was an ordinary person, like us, yet he attained enlightenment. What is there to stop us from achieving this as well? Therefore, the images of the Buddha simply serve to remind us every moment to advance diligently towards this goal. The Buddha and Bodhisattva images are not regarded as gods or objects of superstition. A Buddha is a perfectly enlightened being, while a Bodhisattva is an awakened, sentient being. This has often led to the misconception, because these images have many appearances, that Buddhism is a religion. And not only is it a religion, but one that worships many different gods. For if they are not gods, then why are there so many images? Within our original nature, there exists infinite wisdom and virtuous abilities that cannot be completely represented by merely one name. Thus, the names of Buddhas represent these complete, innate, and perfect abilities. The names of the Bodhisattvas represent cultivation of different virtues. If Buddhism is not a religion, why is it not then a philosophy, an academic study. Philosophy is just one course that is offered at a college or university. Buddhism is a whole university in itself. It includes many areas of learning, not just one. In regards to time, it encompasses the past, present, and future. In regards to space, it encompasses everything from our daily lives to the universe. We need a profound, intuitive comprehension to truly understand the reality of life and the universe. When we have this, we will share the same viewpoints with the Buddha. Ordinary people like we are deluded. How? We see everything in opposition to each other, not knowing that in reality everything is just one, not many. The Buddha pointed out to us why we are leading lives of suffering and why the six realms of reincarnation exist. It is because the wisdom and virtuous abilities in our original nature have yet to be uncovered. All our viewpoints and ways of interacting with life are incorrect. The erroneous acts committed due to these incorrect viewpoints and ways, wrong ways of interaction, have resulted in the suffering of reincarnation. This suffering of reincarnation is within the six realms of heavens, asuras, or half-gods, humans, animals, hungry ghosts, and hells. The goal of the Buddha's teachings is to help us break through our misconceptions, to be awakened, to escape this suffering, thus to attain happiness. What do we seek in Buddhism? We seek the perfect, complete enlightenment. The Buddha teaches and hopes that all of us will attain the ultimate enlightenment. In other words, that we too will become a Buddha. Enlightenment is composed of three levels: arhats, bodhisattvas, and Buddhas. The first level is proper enlightenment. In our world, there are some very intelligent and wise people, such as scientists, philosophers, and religious leaders. They have reached higher realization than most people have. However, although they have reached a certain level of realization, the Buddha would not recognize their knowledge as the proper enlightenment, because they have not severed their afflictions. Afflictions are conditions that cause pain, distress, and suffering. These individuals still dwell on the rights and wrongs of others, on greed, anger, ignorance, arrogance. They still harbor wandering, discriminating thoughts. They still harbor attachments, which are fixations to certain ideas or objects. In other words, their minds are not pure. Without this pure mind, the mind without discrimination or attachments, no matter how high the level of realization one reaches, it is still not the proper enlightenment. In Buddhism, the standard for proper enlightenment is the pure mind from which wisdom arises. It is the wish of all Buddhas that we attain this proper enlightenment. This is the level of an arhat. Arhats do not have illusory or misleading thoughts and viewpoints. They do not dwell on the rights and wrongs of others. They do not dwell on thoughts of greed, anger, ignorance, or arrogance. From this, we can comprehend intuitively the difference between Buddhism and worldly education. From the Buddha, we learn the true teachings and the proper enlightenment. Only with this proper enlightenment can we escape all sufferings to obtain true happiness. As human beings, we undergo the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death. We do not attain what we seek, are parted from those we love, and find ourselves in the presence of those whom we resent or even hate. And these occur in the human realms, one of the higher realms of the six realms of reincarnation. Most of our time is spent in the three lower realms of animals, hungry ghosts, and hells. Here the suffering seems eternal, and the lifetimes seem never ending. We are surrounded by all these sufferings with no apparent way to be free. Only after learning Buddhism will we be able to reach genuine liberation. Practicing Buddhism is to accord with the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni, to understand the root cause of our problems, thus to rid ourselves of wandering, discriminating thoughts and attachments. Hence, we uncover our pure mind, in turn giving rise to true wisdom, which is proper enlightenment. Therefore, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas would not recognize the intelligent worldly wisdom, as it lacks the pure mind, the proper enlightenment. Upon attaining this proper enlightenment, we will have the ability to transcend the endless cycles of birth and death. Whether talking about the Buddha's education or worldly education, it is essential to understand the concept of delving deeply into just one method in order to attain achievement. This is especially so in Buddhism. When we truly wish to learn effectively, we need to follow only one teacher and to practice only one path to ensure a smooth journey. When following two teachers with two different paths, we are bound to become confused as to which path to take. Even worse, following three teachers catches us at a T-street. Following four teachers, and we're stuck at a cross street. Today, people like to learn a lot, but they often fail to attain a good result. The problem lies with being caught at those cross streets, confused as to which one to take. To succeed and attain achievement in practicing Buddhism, we need to follow just one teacher and concentrate on just one method. What is this achievement? Attaining purity of mind. Upon achieving some degree of purity of mind, we will have fewer afflictions, and thus an increase in true wisdom, thus enabling us to solve problems in this world and beyond. Therefore, true wisdom is essential in leading a happy and fulfilling life, and on a broader scale, in helping us to solve society's problems. The Buddha taught us to attain this wisdom by first breaking free of our own viewpoints. Without this wisdom, we could misinterpret the meanings within the sutras. If we are able to part from the selfish mind, then true benefits will definitely be received. With proper enlightenment, only when we have no ego, no self-attachment, will we be able to differentiate true from false, proper from deviated, beneficial from harmful. Without breaking through our own viewpoints, we will not have these abilities. One level above proper enlightenment is equal and proper enlightenment. Equal means equal to the Buddha, yet not yet having become a Buddha. This is the level of a bodhisattva. Equal and proper enlightenment requires us to break through one degree of ignorance to attain one degree of Dharma body, the original true body. At this point, the way we view the reality of life and the universe is very close to that of Buddha's. After breaking through the very last degree of ignorance, perfecting wisdom and enlightenment, we attain the third level, perfect, complete enlightenment, the level of a Buddha. From this, we can see that Buddha, Bodhisattva, Arhat are designations. They are not specific names for a specific person. From the intrinsic nature of Buddhism, we realize that the purpose of our practice is to seek wisdom. In the Pure Land School, this is called One Mind Undisturbed. The Pure Land School is unique in that we seek to accomplish two goals. Not only do we seek to have one mind undisturbed, but we also seek rebirth into the Western Pure Land. This is a world of ultimate joy created by Buddha Amitabha. It is an ideal place for cultivation, for those born there are finally no longer subject to reincarnation. Thus, the Pure Land method has two goals that can be achieved within one lifetime. The full title of the primary sutra of the Pure Land School reveals the goals of our practice. The Buddha speaks of the Infinite Life Sutra of adornment, purity, equality, and enlightenment of the Mahayana school. Infinite life and adornment are what Pure Land practitioners seek. Infinite life refers to the merits and virtues of our perfect self-nature. Adornment refers to perfect, complete wisdom with great ease and fulfillment. Purity, equality, and enlightenment are the methods, the three ways of practice. Upon attaining one, the other two are also attained. Of all the schools of Buddhism, none surpass these three ways of practice. While other schools concentrate on the awakening path or proper viewpoints path, the Pure Land School concentrates on the pure mind. A person with purity of mind will be naturally non-discriminating and awakened. An awakened person will naturally have a pure and non-discriminating mind. Different schools may use different names, but the results or the level of state of mind are the same. Therefore, to criticize other schools would be to slander both the Buddha and the Dharma. All these methods were passed down to us by Buddha Shakyamuni. Choosing any one of them will enable us to attain enlightenment. How can we say that one is better than another? From all these different methods, we just need to know how to choose the one that is most suitable for us. First, if the level of the method we chose was beyond us, making it difficult to practice, we would not succeed. Second, it needs to be suitable and convenient for our manner of living. Third, it needs to be compatible with modern society, because we cannot separate ourselves either from society or from other human beings. Therefore, we need to consider these factors when choosing which method we will practice. But regardless of which one we choose, it is essential to be rid of self, viewpoint, and attachment in order to obtain the benefits. Or else, our great efforts will prove to be in vain. Some practitioners have felt that even after years of practice, they have achieved virtually nothing, even to the point of feeling they were better off before. It seemed as if the more they practiced, the worse they felt. All this comes from largely having chosen the wrong method to practice. In this Dharma-ending age, more people will be choosing the Pure Land School to attain achievement, since it is easier and more suited to these times. It does not require us to be completely rid of, but rather just to suppress, self-viewpoints and attachments. As long as we are able to suppress these afflictions, we can still be born into the Western Pure Land, carrying over our existing karma. Once we clearly understand the goal of the Buddha's teachings, we will view the sutras differently. These sutras are one of the world's largest literary collections. To obtain the benefits from this vast collection, it is necessary for us to know and understand the essence of its content. This is the true reality of all the phenomena, the true reality of life and the universe. Life refers to ourselves. Universe refers to our living environment. It would be incorrect to treat Buddhism as an abstract, obscure learning that had nothing to do with our daily lives. Every word in the sutra closely relates to our daily living. Mahayana Buddhism is one of the two major branches of Buddhism. It is the path of the Bodhisattva. And in China, four great Bodhisattvas represent our order of practice and level of achievement. The first is Earth Treasure Bodhisattva. Whether we are thinking of worldly teachings or the Buddha's teachings, nothing can be accomplished without the earth, which represents our mind or a place of existence. The existence of humans cannot be separated from the earth, as we rely upon it for survival, whether for food, clothing, living or working, all rely on the production of the land. The Buddhist teachings guide us to first start the practice from our mind. The true nature within our mind encompasses the infinite wisdom and virtuous abilities that are no different from those of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. However, today it seems as if we have lost our innate wisdom and virtuous abilities. We endlessly immerse ourselves in wandering, discriminating thoughts and attachments, which have resulted in this temporary loss. However, inside the true mind, no wandering thoughts exist. If a mind has wandering thoughts, then that mind is a false one. We originally possessed this true mind, so Buddhism is simply recovering it. Therefore, our first goal in practice is to look for and uncover the treasure in our mind. In other words, the Buddhist teachings do not seek from the outside, but rather they seek from within our self nature. Earth Treasure Bodhisattva represents filial piety. The Earth Treasure Sutra is about filial piety, a basic concept that we would all do well to practice. The kindness that our parents have shown by giving us life and nurturing us is beyond description. To be filial and take care of our parents is naturally our basic responsibility. Not only do we need to take care of their material needs, but their spiritual life as well. Moreover, we need to nurture their aspirations for us. And for us, this is often the most difficult of all. Parents wish their children to have successful careers and to be respected by current and future generations. Therefore, we would do well to act in a manner which will make them proud of us. And the ultimate and perfect achievement of filial piety is to become a Buddha. We begin our practice from here and expand our filial piety and respect to include everything in the universe. The second Bodhisattva, Guan Yin, represents the cultivation of kindness and great compassion. What is the meaning of making offerings to Guan Yin Bodhisattva? It is to remind us that we would do well to treat all people with this same compassion, to use unconditional love and care to help all sentient beings. The third Bodhisattva, Manjushri, represents wisdom and logic, reminding us that when we practice and interact with others, we need to fulfill our filial piety to rely upon wisdom and logic, not on emotion. The fourth bodhisattva, the great Samantabhadra, universal worthy bodhisattva, represents carrying out the cultivation truthfully, applying filial piety, compassion, kindness, and logic in our daily lives. When we perfectly achieve the way of universal worthy bodhisattva, we become a Buddha. Buddhism teaches us to live in harmony with the true reality of life and the universe. In other words, we live perfect and wonderful lives similar to those of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. This is the true, ultimate, and perfect Mahayana teaching. To practice Buddhism, we start by being filial towards our parents, teachers, and elders, having the great, compassionate mind, nurturing our thinking and wisdom, and broadening our mind to care for all sentient beings. Although in sequence, they can also be practiced simultaneously, as each encompasses the other. Being filial includes kindness and compassion, wisdom and logic. Nurturing wisdom includes filial piety and kindness, compassion and logic. Once we have a general understanding of Buddhism, how do we apply it in our daily living? First, we need to know what each Buddha and Bodhisattva represent. If we do not, then Buddhism will be reduced to superstition, and we will not receive its true benefits. All Buddhist sutras contain these qualities, characteristics, and the ways of practice. Therefore, learning only one sutra will be enough. However, we need to know how to understand and apply the teachings effectively in our practice. When we enter the first hall of a way place, in the middle of the hall of heavenly guardians, we will see the statue of Maitreya Bodhisattva, surrounded by four heavenly guardians. Maitreya Bodhisattva, known in the West as the Happy Buddha, has a broad smile representing joyfulness. His great stomach represents tolerance and broad-mindedness, teaching us to interact with others and matters with joy, to be non-discriminating, to be tolerant. Next to him are four heavenly guardians, or Dharma protectors, who teach us how to protect ourselves. The Eastern Dharma protector symbolizes fulfilling our responsibility, teaching us that regardless of our position, we need to fulfill our duties. He is holding a lute in his hand. The strings of the instrument should not be too tight, or else they will break. But if they are too loose, the instrument will not play well. When properly adjusted and balanced, the instrument will play beautifully, symbolizing that we need to take the middle path when interacting with people, matters, and affairs. When each of us fulfills our responsibilities and obligations, how could the nation not prosper? The Southern Dharma Protector symbolizes improvement and daily advancement. Not only do matters need to be taken care of appropriately, continuous improvement also needs to be sought. In his right hand, the Southern Dharma Protector holds the sword of wisdom. In his left hand, a ring symbolizing the perfection of wisdom, showing us that we need to use wisdom in seeking improvement. The sword symbolizes how we need to sever afflictions before they erupt out of control. The third and fourth heavenly guardians are the Western and Northern Dharma Protectors, respectively representing comprehensive vision and learning. Both teach us to observe and to listen more carefully, as well as to read numerous books and travel to many places for comprehensive learning. They teach us to do well in our jobs, to adopt the good qualities, as well as to disregard the shortcomings of others. The Western Dharma Protector symbolizes farsightedness and holds a dragon or snake. This dragon or snake symbolizes constant change. In his other hand, he holds a bead symbolizing principles. People, matters, and objects in society constantly undergo change. We need to observe very carefully and thoroughly to have a firm grasp on the principles in order to be able to control this dragon or snake. The Northern Dharma Protector holds an umbrella to prevent us from being contaminated. This reminds us that within a complex society, we need to know how to protect both our body and mind from pollution and corruption. Unfortunately, many people regard these Dharma Protectors as gods, and they worship them, and this is totally wrong. Usually in the center of the main hall of a way place, there are statues of one Buddha and two Bodhisattvas. The Buddha represents our original self-nature. The two Bodhisattvas represent the virtuous abilities within this original self-nature. One is understanding, the other is practice. If the Buddha in the middle is Buddha Shakyamuni, then the two figures on either side of him will be Manjushri Bodhisattva and Universal Worthy Bodhisattva, representing respectively wisdom and application. Thus, understanding and practice are combined into one. If the hall has the three sages of the Western Pure Land, with Buddha Amitabha in the middle, representing the self-nature, then the two figures on either side of him will be Guanyin Bodhisattva and Great Strength Bodhisattva. They respectively represent compassion and wisdom, completely symbolizing infinite wisdom and virtuous capabilities. Therefore, we again see that Buddhism is an education. There are profound meanings within the names of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The name of Buddha Shakyamuni has two meanings within it. Shakya means humanity and kindness. Muni means purity of mind. The teaching of these two qualities are advocated because many people in this world lack compassion and kindness. Moreover, all sentient beings lack purity of mind, constantly dwelling in wandering thoughts, greed, anger, ignorance, arrogance. Any bodhisattva who becomes a Buddha in this world will be named Shakyamuni.